Welcome to minute 87 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today for the second episode this week, which is on a Monday, somehow, is Jeanette Ward of The Mundane Adventures of a Fangirl. Welcome back, Jeanette.
Hello, happy to be here. Happy Monday.
Yeah. Just for anyone who hasn't figured this out and didn't hear what I said on Friday or said yesterday. So this week we actually will have eight corresponding days of shows. So you had a show yesterday on Sunday, then we got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then the final episode will be on Sunday during the beautiful July 4th weekend. And then on Monday, on July 4th itself, we will debut the new season, season three, which... you'll have to wait and find out what movie it is. Maybe you've already figured it out, but who knows? I'm trying to keep it a secret. We'll see. But I want you to come back and listen anyway, because I'm assuming that most people will enjoy it. And let's hope. I mean, if you enjoyed this movie, you probably will enjoy the next one. So we'll have to wait and see. Jeanette's smiling. You can't say that she's smiling because she actually knows what the next season is. There you go. There's no better endorsement than that.
That's right.
There you go. So minute 87 begins with Susan continuing to smile and ends with Dell holding back tears. So yesterday we had the episode where Neil and Dell finally get to Neil's house. Dell is quickly introduced to the in-laws and the parents and the little kids, you know, the multi-generational family.
Dell and us.
That's true.
Also were introduced for the first time to this extended family that we've never seen before, but of filling this house.
Completely. And it ended with Neil's wife, Susan, starting to walk down the stairs. And this minute begins with the continuation of that, of her continuing to walk down the stairs. And she smiles as she's descending the stairs. And then we see Neil standing up to go look at her. And then he starts walking towards the edge of the stairs. So before we get into anything, I now want Jeanette. So anyone who listened yesterday knows that this was the first time that Jeanette has watched the entire movie. So Jeanette, what do you think is really going on here? Let's hear your thoughts about Susan and Neil, their relationship, the scene. What do you want? Whatever you want to tell us.
There. It felt like there were so many layers here that weren't explained, or maybe were there in the longer. Script/3-hour version of this movie that we didn't see, thank God. First of all, the super dramatic, glamorous way she walks down the stairs and enters the scene, it felt like this moment where they look at each other and smile and seem so relieved to see one another, it felt like he had been away for 6 to 8 months.
It might have felt that way. It might have felt that way with Dell.
It might have felt that way. The way she looks at him and he looks at her and the smiles as if she's forgiving him for something and he's forgiving her for something. I feel like there's more there than what we get. And then the weird way that Dell looks at her and smiles. I was like, does she know Dell? Is Dell a friend of hers? She seems to recognize him. Now, admittedly, Neil's been calling her and saying, here's what's happening. Here's why I'm in. This is what's going on. So she's familiar with Dell at this point. But the way they look at each other, I was like, do they know each other? Is there something else happening there? So I'm assuming you're going to tell me. But before we get there, I just momentarily want to talk about Layla Robbins. Is her name? This movie started, and I was like, there she is again. This woman, over the last year, has popped up everywhere for me. Every show I'm watching, every movie I see, for some reason, this woman is just, she is everywhere right now, and I don't know why. And when I started this movie and she showed up, I was like, holy crap, she's there again. I can't believe it. She has been on, like right now, she's doing an arc on The Walking Dead, where she showed up there, and I was like, God, there she is again. She just finished up a couple of runs on The Blacklist, playing it. If you haven't been keeping up with The Blacklist, she was fantastic on that. She was on The Boys, which, and the shows that she keeps showing up on seem tangentially connected. She was on The Equalizer for a bit. She was on The Bold Type, which is a show that I watched, and that's totally different than all the others. This lady works a lot, and she's awesome. And kind of badass all the time. And I think of her as a kind of action, an action lead. And so it was very weird to see her just playing
Okay,
Steve
well, maybe they
Martin's
cut out
wife.
action scenes here also. You know, she where she.
Perhaps, perhaps. She has now, and this is what struck me about her coming down the stairs and looking all soft and glamorous. The look she has now is so hard-edged.
Well, come
She's a
on, there are
very
zombies around. What do you
severe,
expect?
and admittedly, most of the show. Well, yeah, with the exception of the bold type, all the things I just mentioned, she's playing a very severe character, but she's all angles and sharp edges and very glamorous, but also very hard. And so it was so interesting to see her come down the stairs all soft and glamorous. But because of the way I know her now, watching this movie where she comes down then, I think that's where in the back of my mind I was like, something else is happening. She's clearly the villain. I just don't know how yet.
That's great. That's great. I mean, again, taking into consideration, this was 35 years ago. You know, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe
Well,
she hadn't
this was one
built
of
up
her first
her skill as a villain
movie
yet,
roles
but she
at
is
the time.
definitely.
She was just starting out, which is a little funny that, you know, she was able to be cast as, you know, Steve Martin's wife, because Steve Martin is 15 years older than her. You know, so. Yeah. What's funny is that a few months ago,
Yes, Hollywood.
when I was doing research for one of the episodes, I actually came across a podcast where she was interviewed on from a few years ago about this movie, and it was really fascinating listening to what she had to say about the movie, how she was very, you know, pleased that she got in the movie, but was a little disappointed, I guess is the nice way of putting it, that, you know, most of her scenes were cut, you know, from the whole thing. And I mean, I even tried contacting her via
Yeah,
Facebook
I mean,
or
I would
via
imagine
Twitter
when you need them.
to be on the show. She didn't respond. But what was even funnier is the exact day that I listened to that podcast, I got a like from her on what I sent her. So she didn't respond, but she just liked what I wrote. And basically, she acknowledged that I invited her, I guess you could
She
say.
acknowledged.
Okay, who knows? Maybe she'll get in touch with me at some point. You know, maybe it just takes a few months. I'm sure she's very busy, especially based on all the different shows that she's on.
She's out there in Atlanta working on The Walking Dead right now, beating down zombies and dealing with the worst son ever to be introduced on the show. And that's saying a lot for that
I
show
stopped
with
watching it a few
terrible
years ago.
puns.
Once Andrew Lincoln was gone, that was it. That was enough for me.
You're not alone.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that. Right. So at this point, Neil turns to her and says, "Honey, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine." And as you mentioned, she doesn't need to get a real introduction at that point, because she just says, "Hello, Mr. Griffith." And his response is, "Hello, Mrs. Page," which I like the formality of it. You know,
I do too.
it's not "Hello, Dell" or "Hello, Susan." It's that, you know, we still don't know each other. We know of each other, but we don't know each other. You know, and they do a nice back and forth shot of them. We get a shot of Susan, then a shot of Dell, then a shot of Susan. You know, and it's just done really well.
I think all the reading into it I was doing could also simply be another way to, again, put a nice shiny bow on the end of this movie. Realizing if Neil has this realization that Dell's wife has passed, Dell is no longer married because his wife is dead. I think that because there's a lot of tension back and forth while he's calling Susan across the course of the movie, and she's like, "Well, where are you? Are you getting here? What's going on?" And it gets increasingly more irritating. He kind of has this moment where once he realizes what Dell is missing, it gives him a greater appreciation for what he
Right.
has. And I think that also plays into when he and Susan look at each other, just the smiles. He's so appreciative that he has what he knows his friend is missing. And that could also explain the look that Dell has too, looking at them and just being like, "Oh, I miss my wife, but how nice to be here in this loving
Yeah.
home."
Okay. There is to that. When we get to the script, I'll let you in on everything.
Okay.
I'm keeping you, you know, I'm keeping you here.
In the
Keeping
dark.
you on, I'm keeping you in the dark on purpose, because it is done. You know,
That's right. That's right.
outside
Yes.
the
Street
lights are
lights are
on,
on.
the street lights are on, so it's getting there. And then Susan finishes walking down the stairs. Neil walks over to her and gives her this huge, huge hug. I mean, as you said, he makes it seem as if they haven't seen each other in weeks. And yeah, and it's great. I mean, they do it really well. They first give us, you know, a few seconds of them looking at one another before they embrace.
It's very sweet.
And I love the way that Dell is embarrassed about it. He starts gripping his hat, and he's doing it in a way that's, maybe I shouldn't be here for this, or I don't need to be here for
Again, the
this.
skill of John Candy. The skill of John Candy that last 30 seconds of the movie is it's his skill on full display.
Yes, there's no question about that. They do it really well, and it's just I wonder if they're trying to show that he's embarrassed by what's going on between them, or is it more that he's missing what he had with Marie?
He's missing what he had, but he's also maybe beginning to realize he could move forward. There you go. That's what I think. This is a random question, but because so much of this movie is really just the two of them, are you aware? Has anyone tried to turn this into a play?
I think I did
Because
hear that someone did try that.
I feel like it would work, right? You need a couple of shifting backgrounds, but
And Edie
really, this
McClure.
would work as a play. Of course.
Yeah, and you need something that looks like a burning car, that type of thing. Yeah,
Yes, yes,
this
yes.
might work as a play. I think I might have heard that there was some sort of play, but maybe I'm confusing that with something
I'm
else.
sure some high school drama club has already
Well, I don't know if a high school
done
drama
it.
club would be able to use some of the language in this movie.
Well, you adjusted.
That's one
You
scene.
get
That's one
creative.
scene that you need to be very creative with. I must
Well, that's
say,
yes.
because I keep this a family friendly show, I had a hell of a time editing that episode. Or those two episodes, because it actually gets broken up between two episodes. So yeah, that was.
Also, I like the use of the song here. It's a good song. Listen, nobody's gonna beat 80s movies for great
Yes.
songs,
Well, because that's because
but
80s music is the best.
really, absolutely, no question. This is a great song and a great, yeah, every time you go away, you take a piece of me with you. Perfect.
And
It
it fits
fits.
perfectly here.
Great song. Yeah. Love it.
Yes. Completely chosen well by the way they did it. And so at this point, but I also like the way that the music, they give us the instrumental for a lot longer than you would normally expect.
Yes, because it starts when they're walking up to the
Yes.
house.
Yes, which we've already gone through, let's say a minute and a half, 2 minutes even, where it's just the
Yeah, but
instrumental.
the lyrics don't kick in until the movie is
Right.
over. Yeah,
Well,
yeah,
the
yeah.
lyrics
It's
kick
well
in
known,
as the
but
two of them embrace,
yes.
which also says something about their connection, their relationship from the movie's perspective, not from the script's perspective, but from the movie's perspective. And you can see that she has a tear in her, on her face. Did you notice that? That she has a tear.
Yeah, which again, I feel like okay, it's only been 2 days, guys. What? But I guess I don't know how long he was in New York prior
Right.
to this
That's
adventure,
correct.
so it might have been 6 months.
No,
We
I
don't know.
assume it wasn't, but there's also the idea that he was there, and I don't think he flew in just for one day.
That's true. Yeah.
He might have flown in for 2 days, if the whole thing started on Tuesday. So maybe he flew in on Monday,
Maybe.
and then he was supposed to fly back Tuesday night. Or again, maybe they did fly in Tuesday morning, and if the client wants to pay, so what's the difference? Just a quick 1 day trip. And we can actually see from one of the shots, you see Neil's lips moving as if he's saying something to her, but we don't hear it.
We don't
We
hear
don't
it,
know
yeah.
what he says. No. And I mean, I'll let you know that the script doesn't say anything about that.
Oh,
So
really?
it's
Okay.
just,
All right.
So it's not as if it's something that they filmed him saying. I think it was the idea that he just was moving his lips that to try to show, the way that he's talking to his wife, like whispering something to her,
Yeah,
maybe
sweet
saying, "I really love
nothings.
you. I've missed you," something, what
Yeah,
something to that
I'm
effect.
sorry for whatever it is that we that has happened.
Right. And then she begins to pull away, and then he gives her a big kiss. And then we get another shot of Dell, who is looks like he's trying to hold back tears, and we can visibly see his black eye.
Yeah, the black eye, which I did read that was edited out.
Yes. That was after Neil was strip searched by the by Michael McKean. So Dell made a comment, and Neil gives him a big punch and gives him a black eye. So you can actually see the black eye here. And that's pretty much how this minute ends. It's I would say it's a short minute, but it's not. Every minute is a minute. You know, there's no difference.
Every minute is a minute, but it's a short in terms of content minute.
Yes, the way that they do it, and it is a great resolution for the way that this story plays out. Right. So, did you have anything else you want to say about this particular minute?
No, that was it. I just wanted to talk about Layla Robinson, how she is in everything.
Okay. Which we
Everything.
know, which is why you said, "Holy crap, she's there again." You
She,
know.
I tell you, what, how and in an industry that so often discards women once they hit a certain age, how often that she seems to be having such a vibrant career in some really awesome things
And right, and
now.
she's in her
So, like,
60s, because usually
yeah.
that's development hell for most actresses.
Yeah. So, like, good for her.
Yeah, completely agree with you on that. All right, so the script, we only get half a page here for this, but there are a few little discrepancies which allude to things that are going on. So it starts off, Susan's at the top of the stairs looking down. Her eyes are darkened with mascara moistened by her tears. She sniffles and composes herself. And then Neil introduces, he says, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine. And then it says, Del looks up the stairs. He pushes his hair back and smiles humbly. Susan smiles back at him and says, Hello, Mr. Griffith. And he doesn't respond, saying, Hello, Mrs. Page. That's not there. And what they say then is Neil gives Seth to Del and charges up the stairs. Susan runs down and they embrace midway. Neil kisses her like never before. And that's pretty much all they say here in the script. So one of the things that there's a huge subplot throughout this entire movie that they have cut out.
What is said
That she
subplot?
is very angry with him that he went on this trip and she believes that he's having an affair and that he's lying about the fact that he's with this guy named Del.
Okay, you know, I felt like I could pick up on that,
Okay.
right? Because there's a lot of scenes where she, what do you mean you do? What are you, where are you and what and who? And so that makes her the
Right.
acknowledgement
Okay,
of Dell.
but
Yeah,
one of the
okay.
things is,
Yeah,
first of
yeah,
all,
yeah.
the
I
beauty
get
of
it.
editing, they were able to edit this that you pretty much can't tell from their conversations how angry she is, because in every one of the conversations in the script, she basically hangs up the phone on him after yelling at him. And they cut all that out. So here, she might have been
Interesting.
disturbed about the fact that, why are you in Wichita? Why are you this? But she wasn't blaming him. She wasn't angry at him. She just was
Yeah.
what didn't understand what's going on. Yes. But in the script
Perplexed.
itself, she is pissed. There's no question about it. There's even a point where she is talking about the fact that
Interesting.
she is getting ready to leave him because of all this. Part of that also is there's a little fun scene which they cut out where, she basically says to him when she doesn't believe that there really is a Dell, she says to him, I really hope that you don't come home with a pair of make sure you don't come home with a pair of Dell's underwear. Thinking that, that he's with some exotic woman or something like that. And then he goes, Well, funny thing you should mention that. I actually washed my face this morning with Dell's underwear. So it's funny, but I'm glad they cut that all out.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, that I can absolutely. And that did occur to me. Like some of the questions she was asking, I was like, she thinks he's cheating, but it didn't come back up, so I kind of let it go. But yeah, I could see that. And I certainly the performance at the end makes sense with that line of thinking.
Right. Now, I mean, this is the first time that I've noticed that she's, that her eyes are tearing at the beginning, when she's on the top of the stairs, because that's basically what she's finally why she's crying because she thought that he's not coming home and that he was going to be leaving her. And then there also are tears of joy that she's finally seeing him. And that she also comes to she comes to her realization. I mean, she's a minor character, but she still comes to this realization that she was very wrong about everything she thought.
So there probably is a
She thought
different beat.
he's hiding something and he's really not hiding something. He's telling her the truth. It might be a crazy truth. I mean, this is not a a travel story that anyone really wants to go through. And we know Neil didn't want to go through it.
Right.
So, yeah.
If he had simply waited, as Ferris Bueller's dad told him to do, and take the later flight, would that have solved all of his problems?
Possibly. Because, okay, so John Dole, okay, who is the name of the character, Ferris Bueller, which Jay and I figured out is just a pseudonym because Ferris Bueller's father didn't want everyone to know that his last name is Bueller because then they would keep talking to him. So he has this fake name. He's changed his name so that
Yes,
everyone who sees him
I
won't
buy it.
say, "Oh, I know who Ferris Bueller is. Wish him well, or whatever, So he changed his name. It's the same guy, but
Yeah, that makes sense.
so the script mentions in one of Susan's arguments that John got home today, meaning on Wednesday. So he still wasn't
Oh.
able to get out on Tuesday night.
All right, okay.
Because there's a point in the movie where we hear that it says that O'Hare has cleared up. But that's supposed to be like 2 o'clock in the morning. So I really don't think that planes are landing at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Gotcha.
It's a little crazy to think that. So my assumption is that Ferris's father got home on Wednesday, sometime morning, mid-morning, whatever it is, and was able to bring his gloves back to the house, drop them off, and that's it.
That's right.
That's what I think. Okay, is there anything else you want to say about the entire movie? Are there any points or questions or things
I
that
enjoyed it. I found it is, like I said, it's a very simple story, but it is elevated by the performances, and I think that's all you can ask for from a great comedy. So yeah, it was fun.
I mean, this is one of the few comedies that I can sit and watch and rewatch and start laughing out loud because of some of the things that go on here. It's just so funny. I'm trying to think of another movie that I can do that I do that with, and maybe The Hangover. That's one of the other movies that the first one.
Ghostbusters, I think, for me. And ironically, the movie Oscar. I don't know if you've ever seen that,
Yes,
but
of course I've seen it with
we put
Sylvester
that
Stallone.
on over Easter, and I was like, oh yeah, I love this movie, and I know almost every single word of the dialogue.
Right, but that's a movie. If you're laughing, you're laughing because of the stupidity. Here, you're not laughing because of stupidity. You're laughing because the situations that they get themselves into are hilarious. That's the difference. In Oscar, they're not getting into hilarious situations. They're getting into stupid situations.
Yes, it's all just insane, over the top
Yes,
nonsense.
completely, completely. No question about that. Okay, so every Monday we do a segment called Martin Monday, where my guests will give their top five Steve Martin performances. So what have you got for us, Jenna?
This was hard for me because I genuinely not a Steve Martin fan. I would go so far as to say I don't care for Steve Martin. So
And
this was, I
I
know,
had, oh,
sacrilege.
if I would have known this before, I wouldn't have invited you to
I will admit, like, he's infinitely skilled, crazy talented, really good at what he does. I just don't care for
Okay.
it.
Okay.
So I
That's
you mean,
fair.
let's see, starting at the bottom. Actually, I put Baby Mama on the list, where he plays Tina Fey's boss, I believe.
Okay. That's
The
number five.
obscure little fun role. I like that. I kind of tied that with Bringing Down the House, which is the movie with him and Queen Latifah, which is again another kind of odd couple pairing that's super fun. But then my top four: Parenthood,
Wait, one
number
second.
four.
You're saying that they're both number five?
It's number five,
All right,
yeah.
but pick one, because I'm going to tally all these up at the end. I can't
Oh,
do.
gosh. Baby Mama.
Okay.
Prefer that movie.
Okay. Sorry to put
Number
you on the
four is
spot
pa
with that. So,
No, listen, you can do it. Number four is Parenthood.
okay, that is
Number
definitely fair.
three is Father of the Bride, which is classic, straightforward, beautifully done. Two, Cheaper by the Dozen.
Ooh, good choice.
And number one is Three Amigos, because I remember watching that a lot when I was little. And I still, anytime someone's like, "Well, get a pinata," I'm like, "Do you mean a plethora of pinatas?"
Is a plethora?
And I was hosting a for our dance students. We were doing a costuming workshop, and I was demonstrating how to sew something, and I was like, "Here, you see, you sew very old one, sew like the wind." So there's a lot of small moments in that movie that I quote often. So yes, Three Amigos would be number one on that.
Yeah, I love Three Amigos. Really, really stupid movie, but hilarious. No question about it. It's and they know that it's stupid. That's what's even better. You know, they're not trying to hide the fact. They know that what they have there is just.
Nope. It's just like, hey, here's some dumb fun.
Yeah,
All right.
and it
Okay.
is. Yeah, it's true. All right, so thank you very much for that. So every day we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, where my guest or myself will give a little story about an adventure or misadventure that one of us might have had along the journey of life. So Jeanette, you have an were you able to pinpoint another one of your plethora of stories to tell
Yes.
us?
I have been very fortunate to, I think we were brought up in my family that travel is like, if you're going to spend money, don't spend it on things, spend it on experiences. Number one being travel. See as much of the world as you can, as often as you can. And I that's part of the reason this movie is so charming. It is at its core a road trip travel movie, and I think that's a lot of fun. So, trying to narrow down a story to pick to share. I have also been very, very lucky to get to travel with my belly dance group and perform regionally, nationally, and internationally. And we've performed in Germany and China. In but the story that I want to share is from Paris. We were lucky enough to go to Paris and perform at an event, which was awesome. Got a little confusing. At a couple of the moments, like I speak some French, one of the other two members speaks some French, enough to get us around town. Paris is a big city, a lot of people speak English. As long as you give your French a try, you're going to be fine. The night after the performance, we performed on stage in a little theater. Great show, went well. And we're all kind of like, whew, kind of worn out and now very hungry. Can't eat before you perform, can only eat after. We're like, let's find a little restaurant that's local. So we walk into the restaurant. It was close enough to the performance venue that a lot of the other acts were there. And we walked in and got, because we were still in costume, resounding applause and zaggarites, which is in the belly dance community the way you tend to greet or cheer or encourage one another. And so walked into a lot of noise. There were six of us, got seated, and the waiter walked over and kept asking for water. Anyone who's ever been to a lot of Europe, but France in particular, if you want water, you have to ask for it. We're so used to in America, like before I sit down, have water on the table for me. I'm here to drink a lot of water, especially after a dance event where you've been so worked up and so nervous, like keep bringing us water. And so one of the waiters said, "Why are you so thirsty? And why are you dressed like that? What is going on?" And so we had to explain to them, "Oh, well, we're a dance troupe. We just finished performing, you know, and we're very thirsty because we were dancing." And he goes, "Oh, where are you from?" And so we tell him where we're from and that we traveled there to dance. And so then he calls over, because this is, you know, this young teenage Frenchman, he calls over his friends who are also waiters. So they're all excited to see us. And he was like, "What kind of music do you do?" And we're like, "Oh, we'll this and that." And he was like, "You mean like this?" And pulls his phone and starts playing a song. And we're like, "Yes, very similar." He goes, "Well, you know, I play the music here." And we're like, "Well, that's great." He was like, "So if you wanted to get up and dance for us," and we're like, "Okay," because we had just finished telling him, "Well, the style of dance that we do is improv. So all we need is the music and we can dance. And anytime you see us, it's going to be different every single time because none of it's choreographed." So immediately he's like, "Hold on, I'll play this through the loudspeaker." And they clear a couple of tables and they get us to stand up and perform in
On
this
the tables?
restaurant. No, they
Oh,
moved
okay.
the tables. So
No.
they gave us, they came
Because
up on
that's a completely
stage
different
out of
type of
nowhere.
dance.
Exactly. So yes, at like 11:30 p.m. in Paris, in a restaurant, we did an impromptu performance, to the point where the rest of the restaurant got up from their chairs to come over to watch. And so we performed in a restaurant in Paris, and I felt like it was better than the stage show we had just done.
Oh,
And it
wow.
was amazing. And then I ate the best steak I've ever had in my life and the best chocolate cake I've ever had in my life. But at 12:30 at night, promptly had food poisoning the next day. But it was worth it.
Well, I don't think you got food poisoning because it was 12:30 at night. It was because
Well,
of
it was whatever the reason.
So you're saying it was only tasty going
It was wonderful. There are pictures of me the next day in front of both Sacre Coeur and the Moulin Rouge, where I look. You could tell that I'm suffering, but I was like, I made it. Look at me in front of the Moulin Rouge.
Oh wow. Okay. Reminds me of
So
that scene in
yes.
Bridesmaids.
It was a wonderful trip.
I'm sure it was memorable. There you go. It was a memorable trip.
Memorable,
Yeah, I
memorable trip. And then
right.
there's,
It's actually funny. I just yesterday I was listening to a podcast where Phil Koenig was being interviewed. You know, the host of The Amazing Race. And one of the things that he said was that the best type of travel, he says he's been to so many, he's been to like 130 countries or something like that. You know, some astronomical number or whatever. But he said the best experiences that he's had, it's not where you are, but it's who you're with.
Yes, 100%. I would
You know, he
absolutely,
said you can travel the
absolutely.
world, you can see a place one time and be astounded by it, and then be there another time with someone else or by yourself, and it'll be a completely different experience and stuff like that. So it was just very cool to hear that. And then, you know, you mentioned the fact about, you know, that you were brought up about how important travel experiences are, which I agree with you. I really think that they are very important. The idea of hearing him say something, you know, just yesterday about the fact that it's not just the experience, but it's who you experience that
It's who
experience
you're
with.
with, yeah. And it's so a it's I would encourage everyone, listen, if you take one thing away from this podcast, you should take many things away. But if you take one thing away, travel more. Travel how you can, where you can, when you can. We I
Especially now,
my
after 2 years
mom.
when people were not traveling as much.
Yes. You travel safe, but travel as much as you can. Yeah.
All right, great. Do you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can find me out there on all the socials. Just Jeanette Ward. I think it's JY Ward on Twitter and Jeanette Y Ward on Instagram and all that stuff. And then yeah, you can find my movie reviews over on my blog, which is The Mundane Adventures of a Fangirl at jwardadventures.blogspot.com. Coming up this August, my dance troupe will be having an event. You'll be able to watch some of that online virtually. So you can go over to tamarindtribalbellydance.com for details on that. And you can also, if you go to YouTube, we do have a YouTube channel. So if you do want to see the aforementioned stage show from Paris, you can find that on YouTube if you look up Tamarind Belly Dance.
But we
So,
can't find the what happened in the in the restaurant, right?
no, I do not believe there's footage of the restaurant performance, which is too bad because it was awesome. But the stage show is also really good.
Cool. Sounds like fun. All right, while you're net, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to this show. Finding me is also very simple. All you do is just a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can go to our website, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook. So, Jeanette, thank you very much for joining me for these 2 days. Unfortunately, you know, you couldn't be with us for an entire week this time, but I promise you, season three, I will give you a full week. How's that?
Season three, looking forward to it.
All right. So everyone,
And this
come
was a
back.
pleasure. Thank you for having me. I love it.
No problem. I had a lot of fun also, so that's great. Thank you very much. So tomorrow we'll be back with a different guest. This week, as I mentioned to everyone, over the course of these 8 days, we will have four different guests. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We got I'm not going to tell you who they are. You'll have to wait and see. Just come back.
Big finish.
Yeah, there you go. Come back. You'll hear different perspectives from different people, and maybe even have someone come back that's been here before. Who knows? Great teases. So until tomorrow, you're fine.
You're fine.